Thank you, Mr. Westhuddle. All right, let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves to see if we're trusting in the Holy Spirit for the teaching of His precious Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, while we live in a nation where the Word of God is being put on the shelf, put into the darkness, and our nation is in darkness, Heavenly Father. But Father, we love Your Word. We love to open it up. We love to study it. We love to see the things that You have to say to us, to encourage us, to give us hope and confidence of the future and of our lives now, Father. We pray, Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see in the passage before us in 1 Corinthians 1. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, chapter 1, in the first 8 verses of chapter 1, Paul has been dealing with aspects of God's blessing, all that God has given, all that God has blessed them with. Now, what's interesting here is that the word salvation, or being saved, is not used. It's much like the Old Testament in this respect, that the result of salvation is what is emphasized. Now, for an example, not salvation or being saved, but sanctification, called, confirmed. These are words that are used in reference to our salvation. And then he went to the grace gifts, teaching gifts that they have, and the spiritual gifts that they have. And now in verse 9, Paul makes the crescendo remark that God is faithful. Now, the thing here is that the Corinthian believers are not faithful. They have been given salvation. They have been called, sanctified, called, confirmed. They've been given grace, teaching of the Word by great teachers. They have spiritual gifts. They are gifted in every spiritual gift necessary for the local assembly. God is faithful, but they are not. And so verse 10, he's going to start in then with the dissertation to the Corinthian believers. But we are looking at the phrase, God is faithful. And so we're looking at the faithfulness of God. And we have made it through several points, but let's just quickly orient ourselves to where we are. We have seen that God is faithful, and first of all, in reference to our eternal salvation, so salvation security and eternal security. Then we noted point one, faithfulness means being trustworthy. We looked at the meaning of the word. Point two, faithful to what? Faithful in regard to what? When we say that God is faithful, what are we talking about? When we talk about a husband and wife being faithful, we generally know what we're talking about. There's no infidelity. But what do we mean when it says that God is faithful? Well, first of all, God is faithful to His essence. And we went through some of the essence of God, noting His faithfulness. Secondly, God is faithful to what He promises. God keeps His Word. And then third, God is faithful to the work of His Son on the cross. This is the importance of 1 John 1:9. God is righteous and faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the work of Christ on the cross. Roman numeral 3, there is only one person who is totally faithful to you, and that is God. And don't ever forget that. Man is not faithful. Now, man can be faithful when he's in the power of the Spirit, but man is not always faithful to be in the power of the Spirit. So, God is always faithful. That brings us to Roman numeral 4. This is where we left off last Sunday morning. Point 4. The faithfulness of God is probably the first, but one of the first essences of God proclaimed. Look with me at Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. And if you're writing, we're going to look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know, all people, there's the key, knowing. And very few people know the will of God, the plan of God, and even know the truth about God. Because one, churches are not teaching the truth, and two, people don't want to know. People don't want to know the truth. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. So here we have the know that the Lord your God, He's your personal God, He is God. Not all of the idols, not Allah, not Buddha in our day and time, but all the idolaters, He is the God. And then it says, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His love. He is faithful to the essence of His love, to a thousandth generation, which means into infinity, with those who love Him and keep His commandments, which is faith and love, in summarizing that aspect. Okay, that brings us to Roman numeral 5. Every day, all day, most of us walk in peace in regards to our eternal security, in regards to our eternal life. Now, whether or not you think about this or not, we can do this. We can have this peace about our eternal life because the faithfulness of God. Actually, what we're doing is trusting the faithfulness of God. When you say, I have eternal security, I am saved for all eternity, what you're saying is, I trust the faithfulness of God. Because God is faithful, I have eternal life. We don't usually think of that, but you want to be able to do that. Anytime you find your confidence in something like this, it's because of the faithfulness of God. Because let's face it, people, if He's not faithful, we have no eternal security. We have no eternal security if He's not faithful. If He is not faithful to the work of Christ, if He's not faithful to His own essence, we do not have eternal security. We do not have that confidence, that joy, that hope that we do have. And why do we have it? Because God is faithful. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And let's look at 10, and we're going to look at verses 28 and 29. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Now look at verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is the faithfulness of God, people, combined with the omnipotence of God. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:13. Very important passage theologically. Very important passage and a multitude of discussions, but we'll just note it in passing. 2 Corinthians 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Now, we are in Christ. We are in the hand of God. And if we deny God, God remains faithful. This is very important. That we understand that we can deny Him. We can even be angry that God has saved us. We can even say, I don't want to be saved. I don't like God and all of these things. But God is faithful. God cannot deny Himself, see? So God remains faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Well, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9 deals with the faithfulness of God. Now, continuing point 5. People who believe they can lose their salvation have three major problems. People who believe that they can lose their salvation have three major problems. One, they do not understand what happened at the cross. All sins are forgiven. How God saves once we believe in Christ. That's what happened at the cross. Two, they're more impressed with themselves, their sins, or their new philosophy. And all these things counter the sovereign, faithful God. And then three, they don't understand the faithfulness of God. See, people, let's just babble like fools here. Let's say God says, okay, you don't want to be saved? Then you're not saved. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Look what he does to his essence. Because he said, if you believe in my son, you're saved. And if he turns around and says, okay, you're not saved, he doesn't remain faithful. He's no longer God. You've got to be very careful in your theology and thinking your way through, thinking about God, about the plan of God, the will of God. There are a lot of wrong conclusions in dealing with tribulations that we're studying in Romans 5. And one of the reasons is not our confusion with tribulation, but our confusion about God. So God has to remain faithful, people, because if he is not, then he is no longer God. He ceases to be God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You're saved. Well, you don't want to be saved? Okay, then I'll go along with you. You won't be saved. He can't do that. We can do that, but he cannot do that. He cannot do that. Why can he not? Because he's faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. So this is very important that we understand this. So this is all very important in this whole understanding about the faithfulness of God. Our confidence in our salvation is in the faithfulness of God. Let me read for you, or you can turn with me, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 23. Let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Over and over and over is the emphasis in the Bible of the faithfulness of God. Don't ever get your theology so messed up that you walk away from the faithfulness of God. You deal with what God has done, what God has said. He's faithful. So this becomes so important. All right, Roman numeral 6. Roman numeral 6. In regards to our Christian life, grace recovery from sin, back into the power of the Holy Spirit, we do not have to be afraid because we've sinned. All sins are forgiven at the cross. God is faithful. This is where 1 John 1:9 really comes into play. It doesn't come into play for salvation. It doesn't come into play for spirituality. In the sense that if you confess, he's faithful and just forgive. No, he's faithful to what? He's faithful to the work of his son. You've already been forgiven. He is already forgiven. He is already cleansed, is the correct translation of 1 John 1:9. He's already done it. Just claim what is yours by faith. See? Don't be afraid to deny that you sin, which is what the problem was. Acknowledge that you sin. Why not be afraid to acknowledge that you sin? Because God is faithful. He has already forgiven. He's already cleansed. Claim what is yours in Christ. Therefore, all we have to do is go back to what we stopped doing. What did we stop doing to sin? We stopped walking by faith in the Spirit. We go back to walking by faith in the Spirit, and therefore, what happens? We are back into the filling of the Holy Spirit, back into the light. Okay? This is very important. Point 7. not only are we trusting God for eternal life salvation, not only are we trusting God for His faithfulness and spiritual recovery from sin by faith, we are trusting God for His faithfulness in holding the world, the universe, together. The universe, the whole universe, is under the control of the faithfulness of God. People, the only reason that I know the sun will shine tomorrow somewhere, maybe not here in the clouds, but it's shining, is because of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. It's amazing how we become wise, we become fools. I've read Stephen Hawking's, a couple of his books. I'm intrigued with the man. He's a physicist in Britain. And he's a brilliant, brilliant man in the area of physics. But boy, when he gets into theology and philosophy, he really shows his foolishness. He really shows how foolish he is. And but here we are, simple-minded compared to him. But I want to tell you something. You're wiser than he is. You're wiser than he is, people. And how do we know this? Let's look at Psalm 36. Let's look at Psalm 36. It is a shame what is happening in our educational system, where creation is now just laughed at, and the theory of evolution is presented as fact, and the removal of God, the removal of a creator, and therefore everyone's an animal, and I, the government, will take care of you, just as you take care of an animal. And that's the whole ideology behind getting rid of creation, is to get rid of God and make everyone an animal, and a higher animal has to take care of a lower animal, and the higher animal is the self-appointed government. But let's take a look, Psalm 36, verse 5. Psalm 36, 5, Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. The faithfulness of God holds everything together. Oh, I know you thought it was gravity. But I want to tell you something, people. Gravity works because of the faithfulness of God. Look at Psalm 89. I'm just picking out a few of the more blatant statements in Psalms. There are so many. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 2. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I want you to note how, along with justice, you'll often find righteousness and love. Along with faithfulness, you find His love. God is faithful to His love. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, let's read 89 to 91. 89 to 91. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. It's over. It's settled. Now, man may not like it. Man may reject it. Man may not want to study it. But it's already settled. Verse 90. Thy faithfulness throughout all generations continues, but Thy faithfulness, you notice continues is not in the original, throughout all generations Thou didst establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to Thine ordinances. For all things are Thy servants. People, it's the faithfulness of God that holds this whole universe together. It holds our salvation together. It holds this universe together. Point 8. God's faithfulness is vital to our prayer life. That's right. God's faithfulness is vital to your prayer life. Look at Psalm 143. I guess I'm too old to go back now, but when I got out of seminary, I said, okay, I get a church, I'm always going to be teaching at least one psalm. And all the times I teach during a week, one of them will be a psalm. I haven't taught a psalm in so long, it's embarrassing. But there's so much in the psalms. But Psalm 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness. Okay, people, this will guide you in your prayer life. If God answers this, can he remain faithful to Christ? Can he remain faithful to his essence? Can he remain faithful to his love? Can he remain faithful to his plan? It's going to guide us. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Now, what we've been seeing this in our Wednesday night study in John, that now that Christ has come, we have a revolutionary change in prayer. We now get to address him as Father. Never in the Old Testament did they address him as Father. They knew him as Father, Father of the nation, but never addressed him as Father. But when Jesus Christ came, he said, you talk to the Father, address him as Father. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Hear my prayer, Father. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. So he's calling on God faithfulness to answer the prayer. We should always give thanks in our prayers for the faithfulness of God. Look at Isaiah 25. These are things that affect our daily life. It's the reason I'm taking your time to have us look into the text. This is not to support some theology or some doctrine. This is your life. This is your daily life and your prayer life. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. When's the last time you said that? Let me tell you what this does. Let's go combine it with our study in Romans. Tribulation. Lord, you're my God. That sets the whole framework for what you're going to say about your tribulations. You're my God. Whatever's going on, you're in sovereign control. So this kind of sets the framework of whatever we're going to pray to him. So it says, O Lord, O Father, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name. For thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. I don't know if you thought about it, and I don't know what today's going to hold, but I want to tell you right now, we as an assembly of believers have seen a miracle with young Thomas. I believe that. I believe we've seen a miracle, and are seeing a miracle. Now, I don't know what will happen today. I'm just saying that to this point, we're seeing a miracle. We're seeing the faithfulness of God. These are things that we give thanks for. These are the things that stabilize us in our life. So he says, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Okay? Point 9. God's faithfulness is seen in his protection. God's faithfulness is seen in his protection. And again, people, this is where you and I live. This is not the doctrine of the Feast of Israel or the Tabernacle or something. These are things I want you to see in the text. These are things I want you to carry with you in regard to tribulation or boredom or whatever's going on in your life. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. Well, let's tell you what. You can read 1 Corinthians 1:8 through 9:1. Okay. That's a lot. So, but it's all in there, the faithfulness of God. Now, let's take a look at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's read together 23 and 24. 23, now may the God of peace himself, and that's why you and I can have peace, sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body, what is man? Trichotomous, dichotomous, there it is, body, soul, and spirit. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. People, it's got to be the faithfulness of God. The resurrection of our bodies is the faithfulness of God. Nothing we can do about it. If God is not faithful, we're just going to lie in that tomb. Point 10. The five characteristics of our flesh nature. The five characteristics of our flesh nature. Let's take a look. One, continually being corrupted. Two, deceitful above all else. Three, incurably sick. Four, full of evil. And five, insane. Happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day. There you go. This is our nature. Now, to combat this nature, to combat continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably sick, full of evil, insane, to combat all of this, God has done some things. One, he crucified the old nature. He buried it. Two, then he raised us up, new creatures in Christ. Three, then he supplied us with the Holy Spirit. And then four, he gives us promise from his faithfulness. He gives us promise from his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's take a look and see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such that is common to man, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. So this is our confidence, our hope is the faithfulness of God. And now point 11, in regard to tribulation. Just a quick note here, we're studying this in two different studies, but let's just be sure we have it under the study of the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God in regard to tribulation. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God. Okay, tribulations can be from the will of God, people. Entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Okay? How do I know what's right? Got to know the Word of God. Got to know the will of God. Where's the will of God? In His Word. So all of this depends upon our continuing to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for the benefit of Christ, that is for His glory, His witness, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, for His benefit. Now, the faithfulness of God is related to the tribulations we have in life. Tribulations in life are related to us sharing the sufferings of Jesus Christ. So, in the midst of tribulations of life, we are to give thanks and be occupied and give thanks with the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of tribulation, especially in the midst of tribulation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God, there it is again, people, the will of God. Suffering according to the will of God, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. So whether you're suffering, people, in regard to sin or designed for glory, you trust God. You trust God's faithfulness. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for history. God has a plan for you in regard to history. Also, you can look at Psalm 119, verse 75. Psalm 119, verse 75. Let me read it for you very quickly. Because again, this is where we live. This isn't just something else. This is where we live. So we want to take this time. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, Thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness Thou hast afflicted me. People, these are powerful things that we endure in tribulations in life. You cannot lose sight of the fact that God is faithful even in tribulations. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And if we don't know the will of God, the plan of God, the Word of God, we're going to miss out on our tribulations that occur in our lives. Roman number 12. I didn't know how to word this one, so I just simply worded it. The faithfulness of God in just living. The faithfulness of God in just living. So many things happen in a day and out, day in and day out of our lives. Not necessarily tribulations or sin, or just, but things just happen. Things that cause us to wonder why. What is God doing? See? Well, people, here's another time in the day when you can just turn to the faithfulness of God and trust Him. Why doesn't this happen? Why does this happen? Why this? Why not that? Why all these things that just happen in our lives, day in and day out, little things, big things? Why all of these things going on? Here is another time you have to turn to the faithfulness of God and trust Him. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32, please. Deuteronomy 32. I didn't know what else to call this category of verses. Except just daily living. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. The rock. Boy, I love this. Just starts off. Get your attention. Just like a great poem or a great story. That first sentence, you just go, wow, I got to read this. This is just great. The Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. People, this is the kind of verse you want to put on your refrigerator rather than a diet. Rather than a picture of a diet or picture of what you want to look like and all this kind of stuff. Put this kind of a verse in your soul. The Rock. His word is perfect. Let's look at Lamentations. We haven't looked at Lamentations much in our study. Lamentations. All right, if you don't know where it is, oh my goodness. Well, two things. Number one, if you can find Jeremiah, which is a major prophet, it's after Jeremiah. If not that, look in your table of content. That's what it's there for. Don't ever be afraid to look at the table of content. Every now and then I'll pull out my Hebrew Bible and I have to look at the table of content. So, just don't be afraid. It's what it's there for. That's why they printed it there. Lamentations, chapter 3. Alright, you know what to lament is, Lamentations. This is the lamenting of Jeremiah. So let's take a look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. 22, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever heard that song? Okay. This is the things that you want. This is daily living. That's why I picked it out. Look at it. It says, they are new every morning. You wake up every morning. What's going to happen? I've learned that I wake up loudly. This has been pointed out to me. I don't need to wake up so loudly. See? Just wake up happy, but not so loud. See? But it's new every morning. And people, what I want you to understand is these verses just deal with our dependency on the faithfulness of God every minute, every day, all day. Things may not be going on in your life as far as something great, something dramatic, something tribulation or anything like that. Just a day. Great is thy faithfulness. Then when you get into the tribulations, great is thy faithfulness. Then into the joys, great is thy faithfulness. See? Illnesses, great is thy faithfulness. Health, great is thy faithfulness. You gotta have this occupation with him all the time. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua 1. Of course, we know the story of Joshua, but let's take a look at what we have to say here in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua taking the place of Moses, leading them into the land. Joshua 1:5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now, I'm going to tell you something about interpreting Scripture. There are those who say Joshua 1:5 is just for Joshua. This has nothing to do with anyone else. This is not for David. This is not for believers in the church. This is not for you. This is said just of Joshua. I do not believe that. I believe God put this in, God the Holy Spirit put it in, that we might know that He is with us all the time, that He will not fail us. He is faithful. He is faithful. One more. Let's look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Just while you're looking, I've been thinking seriously and working out a little plan, but I want to get with our Sunday school, our children's teachers, and it's been made very clear in the past month that very few Americans, especially our politicians, but maybe not just especially because of their leadership, but probably all of them, very few know American history and know it accurately. And in fact, history of the whole world, where the society is very strongly lacking. And I guess one reason is when you got a world history teacher who looks like she was in world history, it's not going to be too interesting. But I want us to start a teaching program on Sunday morning teaching history of the Old Testament. I want them to know what the Bible stories are, the books of the Bible, things like that. Not the interpretation necessarily, but understanding the history of Israel, history of this book. This is absolutely necessary in regard, just like it's necessary for us to know our past in this country. Why are we where we are today? We have left our past. We don't know our past. We've left our past. We've got to know our past. You got to know your past to hold on to the future and hold on today. And our past is the cross. Our past is the Old Testament. So these things have to be done. Now, Psalm 33 and verses 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, but you got to know his word, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord, which means the earth is full of righteousness and justice. See, here's your understanding here of logic. See? He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of loving kindness of the Lord. So the earth is full of that which he loves, righteousness and justice. Okay? This is why we will give thanks to God for his faithfulness. So point 11 was the faithfulness of God in our daily living, people. And I could just spend the whole rest of the hour and a couple more hours on our daily life and dealing with the faithfulness of God. When you just get under stress, anxiety, and depression, you stand back and say, wait a minute. My mind is on the wrong thing here. I've got to get my mind on the faithfulness of God. Point 13. Those who love the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit love to witness for Christ. If you love the Lord in the power of the Spirit, you love to witness for Christ. Here's another aspect of the greatness of God that we should want to tell others. And that is of the faithfulness of God. When we witness, this is a wonderful thing to tell people. Let's look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Again, I'm taking the time to look these up because this is where you and I live every day. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and let's read verses 1 and 2. It's a beautiful psalm, by the way. I will sing of thy loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. Okay, people, what's a father to teach his children? What's a mother to teach her children? Faithfulness of God. The will of God. The word of God. I'm so sorry we live in a time when more parents are concerned about the academics of their child, about the sports of their child. They care more about their children's grades in school. They care more about their children's athletic games and things than they do in Bible, getting them to study and in the church where they can learn the Word of God, the will of God, the faithfulness of God. No wonder this country's in a mess. Pastors not teaching the Word, parents not teaching their children the will of God and the Word of God. So this is very important of parents. Parents should be diligent to teach their children the faithfulness of God. Look at Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. Whether you're a parent or not, be aware of it, that you can tell a parent if you talk with one. Isaiah 38. Isaiah Isaiah 38, verse 19. It is the living who give thanks to thee, as I do today. A father tells his sons about thy faithfulness. So what a father's to do, people. Oh, you can teach them school, teach them how to fish and hunt and all that. But this is what we want to make the main lesson for our children. This prepares them for life. This is what gets them going. But I'll have more to say on that in the next hour. Okay? Point 14. History and the faithfulness of God. History and the faithfulness of God. Well, I would deal with the faithfulness of God in our daily life. Here's the faithfulness of God in history. The race of the Jews, the nation of Israel, the four unconditional covenants, the coming of Christ, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the church, the last 7 years of the age of Israel, and the millennium. So we come to the importance in history of the faithfulness of God. The last 7 years of the age of Israel, known as the years of tribulation, the second advent of Christ, the millennium. All of these deal with the faithfulness of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. You thought you were going to turn to the Old Testament. No, the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Sometimes a verse starts off with knowing. Sometimes it starts off like this one, by faith. Faith must be how we learn, know, and believe the things that we learn and know, by faith. Now, what is the object of Sarah's faith? By faith, even Sarah, the wife of Abraham, herself, received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time. And we studied this in Romans 4. Beyond the proper time of life. Since, or because, she considered him faithful who had promised. What did he promise? That she would give birth. So, why was she able to? Because she believed him. I believe him. I'm 90 years old. I'm sexually dead. But he told me. And I believe him. Verse 12, therefore, because of her faith in the faithfulness of God, because of her faith in the faithfulness of God, also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, Abraham, as many descendants as the stars of heaven, in number and innumerable, as the sand which is by the sand which is by the seashore. The Jewish race, people, is dependent on the faithfulness of God. And I don't care what Obama does. I don't care what Syria does. I don't care what Egypt does. I don't care what all the forces of the world do against Israel. I know in my soul, it's going to be here. They're going to be gone. It's going to be here. This is the faithfulness of God. The Germans tried to counter the faithfulness of God. Man has tried to counter the faithfulness of God all through history since God laid it out to Abraham. And I laugh. I laugh at Obama. I laugh at the Syrians. I laugh at Egypt. I laugh at Turkey. I laugh at Iraq, Iran. I know that little bitty country there is going to be here. Why do I know that? Not because of the Jews that are here today, because of the faithfulness of God. There's peace in my soul. My fear is that God will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee as we continue to become more anti-Semitic. He will restrain and withhold blessings to us. But it's not going to affect Israel. Israel's going to be here. That's the faithfulness of God. See, America doesn't have that promise from God. There's no faithfulness of God in keeping America around. But there is to Israel. There is to the whole plan of God. There is to the last 7 years promised to them. To the whole millennium. So this is God's faithfulness. God promised Abraham an unconditional covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. He promised the Palestinian covenant. He promised the Davidic covenant, eternal kingship. Then he promised the new covenant. Now, as whether or not God would fulfill these covenants depends on his faithfulness, people. Look at Deuteronomy 7. Let's look back at Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. No. Oh, well, what we had in Hebrews, faith is the first word. Now, no. Got to know. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. He keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation to those who trust Him and keep His commandments of faith and love. People, you can also read, we won't take the time this morning, you can read 1 Kings chapter 8, 23 and 24 and 56. You can read Psalm 89, 32 and 34. And by the way, one thing, let's turn to that Psalm 89. I want to show you something interesting in that one. Psalm 89. For your daily prayer and your trusting in the faithfulness of God, Psalm 89. And let's read verses 32 through 34 and note something about this. 32 to 34. Then I will visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. Here's the faithfulness of God. Alright, verse 34. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. What am I pointing this out to you? People, man can't change the faithfulness of God. Goes back to our eternal security thing we were looking at the very beginning. You can deny God. You can curse God. You can say, I don't want to be saved. I don't believe in you and all of that. Man doesn't determine God's faithfulness. God's not fickle like we are. Oh, yeah, you don't love me? Well, I don't love you either. See? Oh, yeah, you want to break this contract? Okay, I'll break it too. We're fickle. We deal with how we're dealt with. Not God. God is not dependent upon us, people. His faithfulness is dependent upon Him, not us. It's very important to know these things. Let's look together at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Isaiah 49, 7. Thus says the Lord, this is Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel, and its Holy One, to the despised one, Jesus Christ, to the one abhorred by the nation, Jesus Christ, to the servant of rulers, Rome, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord, who is faithful. The Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. People, it all depends on the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to give you some verses, and you can read them, dealing with the faithfulness of God when you having some problems or thoughts about it. Psalm 98:3, Jeremiah 51:5, Revelation 19:11, Psalm 96:13. That brings us to point 15. We have seen the importance of the faithfulness of God in salvation, in living, and in history. But we are dependent upon the faithfulness of God in regard to what happens to us after death. God is faithful to us after death in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I want to close with an exhortation on close the study of faithfulness of God. What about us? What about us? Are we to be faithful? Are we to be faithful? All through history, God has looked for a quality in man. And that quality is faithfulness. Let's start off with Psalm 12:1. What is the will of God? What does God want out of me? Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord. I like the beginning. Help! Help! Ever start off a prayer that way? It's a bona fide prayer. Hey? Help! Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 8. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Verse 6. Moses and Aaron are among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the name of the Lord, and he... Wait a minute. Whoa. No, I'm reading the wrong one. I didn't think that sounded right. All right, verse 6. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. You want the Lord's eyes on you in favor? Faithfulness. That they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. God expects us to be faithful. Question, can we be faithful? Not in the flesh. Therefore, in closing, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Far more important than the Ten Commandments is Galatians 5. 22 and 23. Not 10, but just 9. Not long laws, but just statements. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. People, we're not faithful in the flesh. The only way that we can be faithful in the flesh is to walk by faith. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us faithfulness to Him. It's the Holy Spirit who causes us to be faithful to His Word, to His will, to His plan, to all that God has in store for us. Okay, that gets us set now for verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've worked our way through now, and we've seen the faithfulness of God and all that God has done. And now we're going to move in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and somehow I've got to pick up the pace, but we're going to try to move it along in verse 10 and following, where he now is going to start setting them up and talking about how they have not utilized the faithfulness of God, what they've done. See, God gave them great teachers. You know what they did? You know what they did with great teachers? I mean great. Biblically sound, in the Holy Spirit, they divided. Oh, well, we follow Paul. Well, we follow Apollos. Boy, he says things so eloquently. Well, we follow Peter. Boy, he's got it just down to where the common man lives. Well, we follow Christ. We don't follow man. We follow Christ. I mean, this was unbelievable. What they had done with the gifts that God had given them. Not unlike the church today. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness. Maybe sometime we don't realize, we forget how dependent we are on your faithfulness. Our very breath is due to your faithfulness. The security that we feel in our soul is built based on your faithfulness. Our anticipation of after death is built on your faithfulness. The peace that we have in our soul is built on your faithfulness. I pray, Father, you'll take the things we've seen this morning, have them settle in our souls, just get it really fixed in our souls, that becomes a reality in our life where we give thanks for your faithfulness, for who and what you are. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.